It's November. We call it Thanksgiving month, but it shouldn't just be one month of Thanksgiving. It should be a Thanksgiving month every month throughout the year. And As I said before, I think the big thing that I'm thankful for is that the election is over. However, the stuff associated with the election may not be over for a while. But we need to ask ourselves, who do I give thanks to? Do I just go through life and say, hey, thank you, Lord? Or do I just say, thank you for this, that, or the other thing and not mention the Lord's name? Well, I think we need to understand that everything that we have, everything that we will ever be, all the blessings that we experience are as a direct result of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to remember that it is God to whom we should give thanks, not just to the air or to some unidentified situation. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He said, after many years of observation and prayer, I am sure that the basis of our troubles today, and he's talking about his day or any day for that matter, is that our God is too small. He didn't mean that God was really tiny. He meant that our perception of God is way too small, and that we need to jack up our minds and see how big and powerful and wonderful God really is. A few weeks ago, I mentioned some of the great and wonderful things about God, and we need to ask ourselves this morning, how big is your God? Really, how big is your God? Is he big enough to take care of everything? I think so. And he certainly should be. Today I want to challenge you to expand your vision of God and give thanks to God all month long and then right on into the rest of the months. Actually, all year long. The more we give thanks, the more we will draw closer to God as we recognize who and what he is. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 8 this morning, and I'll read part of it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What really is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Notice paths of the seas. That could be half a dozen messages right there, the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's a psalm that we need to commit to memory. We have a marvelous God, and everything that we see around us is a result of what he has done, what he has accomplished. Back in May and June, I shared with you some of the marvelous things about creation. the wonder of our earth, which requires 150 different aspects in order for us to have life on this planet. If one is gone, we are in trouble. But God, in his gracious mercy, saw to it that everything that we needed for life on this planet was given to us by his grace and by his love. The correct distance that we experience from the sun, absolutely perfect. The opposition of the air we breathe, it's exactly put together in exactly the right form. If it wasn't, we couldn't breathe. We looked at some of the unique animals. We looked at the hummingbird, and what a marvelous creature that is. We looked at some of the bigger ones, the elephant, or the elephant. In South Africa, they say elephant, don't they? Yeah. So today I'm going to give you a few statistics about creation. I simply want to challenge you to consider, and underline this word, consider, what God has created, and then take time to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your creation. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Wow. And then once again from Psalm 8, when I consider, and I want you to underline that word consider, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. That word consider is really a powerful word in the Greek language. What this really means is that God created ex nihilo. That is, he created out of nothing. You can't create out of nothing, can you? Anybody here create anything out of nothing? I doubt it. But that's what God did, ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. And then we take that which he has created and we do some things with it. Some pretty remarkable things, actually. But none of us are capable of creating out of nothing. Man has been able to take what God has made out of nothing and do something pretty neat with it. Praise the Lord. What does the word consider really mean? Psalm 8 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Think about what the psalmist challenges us to do. To consider what God has made. Unless we deliberately take the time to consider what God has made, we can easily go through life missing the wonder of it all. But when we consider, stop and think about this word. What do you really consider? What do you consider in life? What do you consider as important? What do you consider raising your children? What do you consider about your relationship to your wife or your husband? I thank God that I was raised in the country. I really do. There were many blessings to consider. many blessings connected with being raised out in the country. It's not the only place that I had experience. We also had experience in Johannesburg, South Africa, a population of 5.64 million people, wholly different than being raised in the country. But when we consider what God has done for us, we seem to be able to get a greater perception if we have something to do with the country. The sun, the moon, the stars, clouds, rainbows, rain, snow, wind, storms, that's all a part of our country. Birds, that's something that Gwen really loves, is birds. She likes to watch the birds fly. I think if she had her choice of what she wanted to be, it'd be a bird. I wouldn't be too happy about that. Dogs. What do I want to say about dogs? I actually had a dog once. That dog was so protective of me that nobody could even get close, not even my dad. And one day, a guy who came to buy some stuff from my dad, the dog almost took him to town. Eventually, we had to get rid of the dog, and I haven't had a dog since then. I don't think I could ever have a dog like that one ever again. We have such a variety of trees, majestic pines and elms and all sorts of colors of every season. And actually, we have some pretty nice colors in the fall here in Kansas, don't we? Yeah. Now, it isn't like Colorado, but it's certainly beautiful. So consider all that. Consider our response to God in all things. I kind of like what this one Christian mother did to help her children learn to see God's creation and to be able to express it in a way that is an honor to the Lord. So if they were walking out and they saw beautiful flowers, she would say to her children, "Good job, God." Wow. As they watched snow falling in the wintertime, she would say to her children, "Good job, God." On one occasion, one of her children came running into the house and saying, "Mom, you got to come out and see this." And it was about 1,000 butterflies. And this little boy looked at Mom and said, "Good job, God." You see, you need to bury that into their children's mind, that what we see and what we experience is a good job, God, so that as they go through life, they are always thinking and looking in that respect. Parents, grandparents, kids, adults, let's thank God this week for his creation. Let's look for those things that we can share with our children and with one another. Good job, God. God doesn't do anything halfway. Everything he does is a good job. And so we need to really emphasize that. Genesis 2:7. Yeah, there it is. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You know, God has used some very interesting people with whom he has breathed the breath of life. I've always been impressed with Thomas Edison. He was a great inventor. In fact, he had over 1,000 patents. That guy was pretty bright. He invented the light bulb, the motion picture device, the telephone transmitter, stock ticker improvements, and it goes on and on and on. But you know what he was never able to do? He was never able to create life. Not even the simplest form of life. That's unique for God. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Let me give you some things just to thank God for that we generally don't. Thank God for your brain. Take some time to see what your brain is all about. Thank God for your eyes. What would you do without your eyes? Some of you have to wear glasses about this thing. Thank God for your eyes. Thank God for your ears. Thank God for your mouth, your ability to communicate. Thank God for your shoulders and your fingers. You can do a lot with those. Thank God for your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver. You never think about that, do you? You didn't get up this morning and thank God for any of these things. But they make you what you are. Thank God for your stomach and digestive system. Thank God for your legs and your feet so that you can run and jump and play. Children do that automatically, but they never thank God for what they have. Thank God for giving life to your body. Thank God that your body was wonderfully and fearfully made. That's what this month is all about and what every month should be about. Thanking God, giving thanks to him because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We quote that verse. Do we consider it? Do we thank God for it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My goodness, what a marvelous blessing. God's love shines brighter than all of his creation. The creation is wonderful, but compare it, put it beside the love of God, and it looks like dirt by comparison. When I consider the work of God in his creation, I personally am struck with astonishment. I don't know how he can love us. When I consider that God loves me, I am absolutely dumbfounded. I'm not easy to love, ask Gwen. I am not an easy person to love. But God still loves me. And the best I can say is thank you, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is, that he has sent the Lord to give us his undying, everlasting, eternal love. There isn't anything that I can do that will cause him to hate me. He takes care of every issue in life. There's no sin that we can commit that can't be forgiven by God. Amen? So, I purposely made the message a little short this morning, but I started early, and we have board meeting and all of that good stuff. So, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Thank you, Father. And that's what we want to think about. If you have any decision to make for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do every Lord's Day, we just invite you to come. It's not hard. It won't put a blister on your feet, I hope. It won't put a blister on your tongue to say, I need to commit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, we just invite you to do it as we stand and sing, Thank You, Father.